I'd invite you to turn to the scripture with me just a moment to consider the baptism of Jesus as Luke records it for us in chapter 3. There we find, let me use this thing, in chapter 3, sort of set up the scene. He's talking about, Luke does, John's ministry, his baptism that was being done in the wilderness there along the Jordan. And in the 15th verse of chapter 3, he says, the people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. But John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. Just to step out a moment from the reading, you know, as slaves in antiquity, one of the most unliked things among them was to untie their master's sandals. You know, you can imagine just dirty feet to begin with, and how it was just a sign of humiliation that they were forced by their masters to take off their shoes, take off their sandals from their feet. And yet here John is saying that the one who is to come, he may not have known it right in this moment, but he knew that he was just like a slave who was preparing the way for the one who was to come, the Messiah who was expected. And so he compares himself to that slave whose sandals he was not worthy to untie, even. So deep was his humility before the Messiah to come. So he said, he will baptize you, this Messiah to come, with the Holy Spirit and gather and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. Again, just to step out, let's consider what he saw as the role of the Messiah. One, to gather the wheat. But two, as well, to burn the chaff with fire. You know, it's a mistake among the churches to say that it's just happy news that there is to bring. That it's all about just love, for instance. Without judgment, there is no love to be expected. If it's only that we talk about love, then God cannot bring justice to bear on the evil and the sin that we see all around us. And these people who came to John saw as well. You know, you think about not only the Hitlers of the world, the Stalins of the world, but those minions who followed them. And across all the history before them, going back even before the Romans who oppressed these Jews, and who they came out to John to be baptized. They yearned for justice and righteousness to come, for God to do something about it. And so John's message is that through the Messiah, God is doing something. And in our day as well, it's important to bring these two together. Yes, the wheat will be brought in to the harvest. But also, there is a judgment to come. A chaff that will be burned. God will set aright all that we obviously can see is wrong. With many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. Now, this must have been good news. That the wheat will be gathered, but the chaff will be burned. When John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of Herodias, his brother's wife, tells us in one of the other Gospels that this was his brother's wife with whom he was then married. And obviously, of course, by the law, this was forbidden. And so what he was doing was against the law, and he called him out on it. You know, it's said that when one of the great preachers known as Chrysostom spoke to the emperor from the pulpit in the 4th century, he was sent into exile because the emperor didn't like being called out, especially in the midst of the congregation, just like he would do it here if the president had come and there was something that needed to be called out. And so it was that Herod the Tetrarch eventually beheaded John. It says there, as he called out all the other evil things that he had done, Herod added this to them all. He locked John up in prison. And as it was Herodias' daughter who asked for eventually his head to be brought to them on a platter while they partied together. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized as well. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I'm well pleased." Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Well, I got a letter recently from one Thomas Smith, executive director of the American Society of Civil Engineers. Now, he says to me, "In recognition of your importance to the civil engineering community, John Fisher has offered a special membership into the American Society of Civil Engineers," etc., etc. Now, my father, who is a PhD in civil engineering and was a professor, now professor emeritus at Lehigh, he's the John Fisher that this letter is speaking of. My first name is John, and I go by Timothy. Just when I was young, we had a dog named Tim. Every time my mom would holler out, "Tim!" both of us would come running. And so I go by Tim because we don't want both of us to come running as my mother would holler out, John. But this is an illustration of a missent letter, isn't it? But it reminds me that even though I don't have any of the qualifications of a civil engineer and have no right to be in the society, American Society of Civil Engineers, it's an illustration to me about Jesus. And this ministry that he began right here with his baptism that continued on to his death and resurrection. This ministry was about declaring, making us, even though our credentials are nothing. We don't have the credentials. But Jesus has given us them. Jesus has declared us righteous, has atoned for us. In other words, he's wiped out the stain of our sin and declared us righteous in the sight of God, so that our credentials now are able to bring us before the throne of grace and find mercy and the grace to help us, as Hebrews puts it. For he is our great high priest. We don't have a credential to bring us into a club, but we have the greatest of credentials that brings us into the church of Jesus Christ himself, the bride of Christ. It's Jesus who has qualified us. It's his credentials, not ours. It's his righteousness, not ours. He it is who saves us, not we. Luke's account of the work of John and John's baptism of Jesus, that's recorded not only here in Luke, but also in Matthew and Mark. And curiously, not explicitly, but implicitly also in John, it points to the end, 3 short years to come, of Jesus' life. John's baptism prepared the people for the one whose sandals, as he says, he was not worthy to untie, prepared that people for the Messiah. And yet, as we know, they could not see the Messiah. I want you to think a moment about those people who were there by the river when Jesus came. They had come for their own baptisms. They had come, as it says, and Wesley, it's interesting, you know, one of the reasons why we're called Methodists is that Methodists, one of the three things that we seek in our Constitution is to flee from the wrath to come. To flee from the wrath to come. How many Methodists today do you think even know, much less think about that? I bet you not too many. But those who came to the river, they came because they were so afflicted by their consciences that they knew that they needed to be washed. Now there it was by the river. But we know, what are we washed by? Nothing less than the blood of our Savior, right? The blood of Jesus. And so those who came there, you have to wonder what they thought. What would we think when we saw Jesus 3 years later hung on the cross? Because of the very declarations of those who said, crucify him, crucify him. They may have been there by the river in this moment, but in that moment, what were they doing? Crucify him. Crucify him. What would we say? I wonder. What would we say? Would we be different? Jesus' baptism shows how thoroughly he would identify with the suffering and sin of humanity. He didn't need baptism for the forgiveness of sin, did he? No. The Son of God, as the Scriptures declare, was without sin. But he took on our sin. This baptism points to the sin-bearing he would undertake on the cross. It points to our baptism as well. Here we hear the voice not only of Jesus, but of the Father speaking, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And there in bodily form was the Spirit, like a dove. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together in this moment. In our baptisms as well, we are baptized how? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And interestingly, what is the voice that we hear through our baptisms? You are my child, my daughter, my son, with whom I am well pleased, and whom I love. That's the voice from the baptismal font that comes to us. And it comes to us only because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Let's stand and sing together. All hail the power of Jesus' name.